Oh, okay.
When time shall come for my leaving, when I bid you all adieu, don't spend your money for flowers, just a rose will do. I'm going to a beautiful garden, at last when life's work is through, don't spend your money for flowers, just a rose will do. Just have an old-fashioned preacher preach a sermon so true. I'll need no beautiful flowers, just a rose will do. I'm going to a beautiful garden, at last when life's work is through. Don't spend your money for flowers, just a rose will do. I'll need no organization, just to make a to-do. I'll need no bright decoration, just a rose will do. I'll go to a beautiful garden, at last when life's work is through. Don't spend your money for flowers, just a rose will do.
I left the deal at one of the words.
$2.95.
Okay.
$2.95.
$2.95. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered. to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish thee, O rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown.
86.
I love to steal a while away from every cumbering care, and spend the hour of setting day in humble grateful prayer. I love in solitude to shed the penitential tear, and all his promises to plead where none but God can hear. I love to think of mercies past and future good implore, and all my cares and sorrows cast on him whom I adore. I love by faith to take a view of brighter scenes in heaven. The prospect of my strength renew while here by tempest driven. Thus when life's toil someday is o'er, may its departing ray become as this impressive hour and lead to endless day.
292.
We're traveling on to that blessed home where saints immortal dwell. We'll join in song with loved ones there and make our voices swell. Oh, who Eternally with Christ at home. Let's sing 221. 221. The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation by Spirit and the Word. From him he came and sought her to be his holy bride.
Providing us with this opportunity that we may come together and worship God in truth and in spirit. I'm thankful to see each and every one of you that's come out to be with us. I trust that something we may say and do this day may cause you to think just a little bit deeper or think just a little bit longer or more lovingly on our God and Savior. We are truly indeed blessed for this day. That ought to be our first thought every morning when we wake up, is God has blessed us to come through another night and to see the dawning of another day. It's good to see each and every one that's come out to be with us. Appreciate seeing our visitors with us. And we hope we conduct ourselves in a way that would reflect our love and adoration of a great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That song we just sang, that describes what should be our feelings. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's what we profess this day. We ask God that he would lead us in our worship service this day and proclaim nothing other than that. I want to make a statement. It's been a tragic week this week as far as things that's gone on with debts being argued about, and really we're making ourselves a mockery of the world and how we can't get along and how that we've all got problems and nobody can agree on anything, and it's really silly. I don't have a solution, but I'm not Washington, so I don't profess to know the answers, but those that are there should pray for God's guidance that they can come to a decent solution without all the bickering and fussing. But that's got the country in a turmoil, and to see the events of that's transpired this week, I appreciate our freedom greatly. I read a lot about other countries, not only in Old Testament times and New Testament times, and you see the turmoil that's going on throughout the world, and it makes you appreciate the freedoms that we have even more, that we're not out in the streets burning and rioting like a whole lot of people. But we appreciate our freedom, and we ought to always honor those that are in service, willing to fight, and even to give their life for the freedoms that we have. And we should never forget how comfortable we really are compared to a lot of people. And even when we're sitting back and relaxing or eating a good meal and watching a TV program, reading a good book, regardless of time of day or night, we know that we've got young men that are still doing what they do. They're still risking their lives so that we can enjoy what we enjoy. And we think about them every once in a while when we see a flag or hear the national anthem. We think about them and say, yay, go, boys, go, and I'm going back to my TV program. But they still do that. And what I'm trying to get to is when we hear of the tragedy that just occurred in Afghanistan, where a helicopter was shot down and our young people were killed. The news media tries to make this out as a great tragedy simply because these were the best of the best. I contend that I don't care whether you're flying a helicopter or you're cooking the meals or driving a truck or whatever you might be doing, if you're over there fighting, if you have sworn an oath to God that you will defend this country. I don't care if you're in Fort Bragg or Kandahar. We ought to be thankful for that. And when we hear tragedies like this, it drives home how precious this freedom is. And we ought to be proud of these people, and we ought to thank God that there are people that care enough about us in this country that they would do what they do. This is one of the blessings God has blessed us with, and we should never forget that. Don't just think about it on the 4th of July and Veterans Day. It's an everyday thing, and as we've seen there. So I ask that you would pray for these families, not just because they're the best of the best, but they are the people that are looking out for us, and it's not just them. It's all of our armed forces, men and women. Thank God for them. Whenever we sang the song about this is our one foundation, Jesus Christ, as we come this day, let us be thankful that we have this one foundation, that we have this solid rock, this Christ that come and died in our room instead, that we may have a home in heaven. As we begin this service, I'd like to ask if there's anyone that it should be considered in our prayers this morning. I understand Sister Langham died this past week. I think that's right. Sister Langham.
Thursday.
I don't know how many of you knew Brother Langham, but she was a dear old sister in Christ. And, 93 years old, and a dear, dear lady. She traveled many miles with Brother Langham. He was a pastor for many years. So we want to remember her family. My sister fell and broke her shoulder and was in quite a bit of pain. We've got a lot of complications with it. I ask you to remember her. Brother Barry passed away.
Richard Barry.
Richard Barry from down close to the library passed away Friday. You said he was?
Yeah, his funeral was Tuesday.
His funeral was just coming this past Tuesday. Remember him. Is anyone else that we need to remember this day?
Miss, Sister Hodges, a member of Lake Fork. Funeral will be this afternoon, 3 o'clock.
Mr. Hodges.
Brother Cobb from Dead River Church passed away yesterday. He's Sister Shreve's brother.
I'd like for you to remember my granddaughter who's going to Cleveland tomorrow to see to the doctor who was supposed to know more about what they're doing this summer. And my daughter-in-law is going to fly with her and pray that they'd like to find something to help her.
Anyone else?
And Patsy Bishop is a member of ACRI, and she has pancreatic cancer, and they moved her to hospice in Washington County.
Anyone else?
Elder Rat was alive, but he's...
He was.
He done had the surgery, so we do it for you.
Right. Anyone else? We're thankful we serve a God that doesn't require us to remember everybody. We like to call out their names, not to remind God who they are, but to show God that we care about these people, that they are in our prayers. Brother Keith, you have a song that we can sing, and we'll endeavor to the Lord in prayer.
162.
Number 162.
He leadeth thee, O blessed thought, O world with heavenly comfort wrought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. In death's cold.
to thee, dear God, we bow. In as humble of matters we know how. Asking, dear God, that thou would accept our prayers of thanksgiving, our prayers and pleas for being around about us, dear God, that we may go through this day and through this service in a way that's pleasing and in thy sight. Dear God, you've heard our petition this morning. That is through thy grace and through the blood of the cross that we have a hope, that we have a home in heaven, that we may look to thee. And you have told us, dear God, that if we will call upon thee, that you will answer. Gracious God, it's through thy promises that we ask that you be around about those that have been mentioned. Dear God, we ask that the doctors be given a knowledge to find cures that are hiding from us. Gracious God, we ask, O Lord, that you bless the scientists and the research people, that they might come up with cures of our diseases. Gracious God, we ask you to be around about those that's taking care of the folks in our nursing homes, in our hospice centers. We ask, O God, that you give them a peaceful hour in which to go through their problems, dear God. We ask you to comfort their minds and ease their bodies and be around about them, O Lord, as they endure their trials and tribulations of this world. Dear God, we ask, O Lord, that you be around about us all as we endure our aches and pains and our daily trials. And gracious God, we ask, O Lord, this day that you would be around about the servicemen's families that's been lost in battle. We ask, dear God, that you be around about them, and not only those that remain alive, and be around about them to bring them home in a safe and a reasonable manner. Protect and keep them, O Lord, that they protect our freedoms. Gracious God, we ask, dear that God, that we look to thee for and see thy mercy and thy glory proclaimed and our freedoms. And we thank thee, O Lord, that we have this blessing from thee this day. Gracious God, we ask you to be around about our leaders in Washington. Cause them to call upon thee for guidance and direction, that we may once again return to a proud and honorable country, that we can stand tall and be looked upon as a God-fearing nation. Gracious God, we thank thee this day for all the opportunities we have together and the sweet meetings we've been to and heard thy honor and glory proclaimed. We ask you to continue to be around about us. We ask you to bless this meeting, dear God, as we come together, that thy word and thy glory may stand forth, and you give us a hearing ear and an understanding heart, that we may see thy glory proclaimed in all thy works. Gracious God, we ask you to be around about all the churches this day that meet in thy name. Bless them, that thy name will be glorified and will be lifted up above this earth, that gives us a hope and a trust and a confidence in thee. Gracious God, we bless you this day. We honor you this day. We declare our trust and our faith and our hope in thee this day. We ask, O Lord, that you hear our prayers and bless us. In Christ's name we humbly pray, and amen.
Amen.
Heard on the news yesterday that the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals had finally handed down their ruling. They met in Richmond, Virginia. They handed down their ruling concerning Forsyth County. It's been an ongoing process, an appeals process, been going on for a couple years, I think. And they finally come up with a ruling that said that Forsyth County can no longer open or have in their meetings a reference to in Jesus' name. That means that they cannot pray in Jesus' name. I know there's a lot of circumstances that goes into making a decision like this. I know there's a lot of legal processes that have to come together, a lot of laws that have to be justified, a lot of people to be considered. I don't understand all of them, don't care to understand all of them. All I know is that the people of Forsyth County in their public meetings can no longer pray in Jesus' name. By law. In my opinion, Satan is hard at work. There's always been attacks, and I don't know if the end of the world is coming or not. Don't really care. But there's always been a lot of attacks, and it seems like the forces of evil are working overtime lately. And if you will notice in the news, anything that is a perversion in the Bible is being pushed to become legal or normal. And if it's something that Jesus said that we ought to do, there are groups that'll argue against it, and they'll end up suing cities and suing states to try to uphold it. Because of the way our laws are constructed, this fear of lawsuits, this fear of attacks that's getting worse and worse, it seems like, have silenced a lot of the news media and intimidated good people to keep silent. I have no doubt that as soon as they find a way, they will try to silence people like me from standing up talking to you about it. But there's always been a lot of concerns about taking prayer out of public meetings and out of our schools, and you can't show a cross now in public. And the family hour on TV has become disgusting. Every week I get an email, or no, not every week, but every so often I get an email of, we should be boycotting this store because of this, what they're doing. It's from different religious groups that I get email from, and this store is doing this, so don't buy anything from them. The problem is there are other religions that are being promoted. And therefore, in my opinion, this has absolutely nothing to do with being fair or being equal. This is an attempt to discredit the teachings of Christ, and is creating the atmosphere, if I know what's good for me, I'll just keep quiet. We know the world, when I say the world, I'm talking about those with an unregenerate heart. Those that dislike God, they will talk about it in a bad way. They want nothing to do with Him. There have always been people like that. But what makes it so bad, and this is what should cause us to sit up and take notice, is that these attacks used to come from crackpots and fanatics and false teachers and atheists, and you expected them. And our government used to set controls and set limits to keep our young people from being exposed to garbage. But now the evil forces seems to have infected our leaders, and now it seems that they're responsible for promoting the biggest part of it. And they've created a hostile atmosphere. When I was growing up, of all the monsters and things that I was afraid of, falling off the big hill on my bicycle, or what might be hiding under my bed or in my closet, or what that strange sound was in the night when I was camping out, of all the things that I was afraid of, I never in my wildest dreams thought that one day I might be afraid to speak about God in this country. In the 19th and over even into the 20th chapter of the book of Luke, he gives us an idea of the attitude that the country had about Jesus in the days leading up to his arrest and subsequent conviction. Ever since Jesus began preaching, he had been doing little things that upset the higher-ups, whether it's the Roman government or the scribes and the Pharisees in the temple. But on the last week before, or the week of crucifixion, I'll put it that way,